Here on Outwork with the Ready, we use Slack to collaborate on nearly every part of making the show.
It's where we share research, talk about listener questions, and plan future episodes. That's because Slack is the AI-powered platform where work happens. It's a place for teams of all sizes to come together so they can be more productive, organized, and creative.
Plus, it adapts to our workflow, not the other way around, offering everything from messaging to audio clips. And for the times we really need to sync up on the finer points of something, Sam and I can jump right into a huddle for FaceTime. No scheduling required.
Now, if only recording our show was that easy.
Right? So whatever you're trying to grow, do it faster and easier with Slack.
Learn how at slack.com.
In a real human conversation, if I was making fun of you, for example, I could be laughing while I'm making fun of you.
Yes.
And that's a layered conversation. Like,
yes.
I'm saying you look ridiculous and I'm laughing at you.
Yes.
And in Slack, there's no way to do that in the same message. And so I do like the idea of being like, here's what I'm saying and here's how I'm feeling about what I'm saying, which is I'm laughing at you. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. This is Brave New Work, a podcast about reinventing our organizations and the search for a more adaptive and human way of working. I'm Aaron Dignan, and I'm joined by my laughing co-host, Rodney Evans.
You're laughing. Hi. Hi, everyone.
No, you are.
No, you are.
On today's episode, we're going to talk about emojis and how they've become a part of the language of work. But before we get into emojis and start putting them on everything, let's check in.
I'm so excited to talk about emojis, by the way.
I have Me too.
Very strong opinions about all of this. Okay, so we're going to do a check-in round. It's like our own verbal emoji, kind of. I made that up. Anyway, our check-in question for today, because tomorrow is Aaron's birthday. We are recording this on Monday the 19th. Tomorrow is December 20th, during which Aaron will turn. Can I say how old you are?
Why not? It's on Wikipedia.
Okay, great. Aaron will turn 43 years old. So old. So our check-in question for today is, what's your birthday wish, old man?
You mean besides world peace and all that?
No, nothing boring. Just you personally. Like, just be gross about it.
Just be so gross about it?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, as I think I mentioned to you when we were together in New York, I'm going for gamey meats tonight. So
tonight,
I'm very excited about that. There's
going to
be some
steak
elk
or whatever. Yeah.
And who knows what else might happen? There could be rattlesnake. Who knows? It's going to be a wild night.
Gross.
For a wild birthday. Yeah. It might be a little gross.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, like, I think my birthday wish for this year, and I'm trying to make this happen, but is to have like the kind of morning where you do all the habits that you wish you had.
Mm.
Like, if you start rattling off all the stuff you wish you did every day, I have not done a good job historically of making sure that stuff actually happens because I kind of roll out of bed and get right to work.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to have a 2023 and a 43rd year. By the way, my age always matches the year. Like, you can guess.
This is really disappointing to me because when I came to that realization the other day, it only occurred to me that it was this year. I didn't think about the fact that it's all the years.
Because I was born 10 days before the break of the 80s. And so, like, yeah, it's always like 1, 1, 2, 2, 3, 3.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. I want to have a year where it's like, yeah, I'm doing all these things that are like for me, like me things, like stretching and making a good breakfast and taking a walk and planning my day and da 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 da. Never done any of that well. My birthday wish is to actually do that stuff well this year. The list is so long, though, I worry that my work day is going to be from like 2 to 6 p.m.
It's like mostly rituals.
Yeah. It's like a lot. There's a lot there. It's a backlog from 43 years of not doing it.
Yeah, you might not be able to like work.
I don't know how to throw this question back at you.
You don't have to. I've got it. I'm going to do all the parts.
You do all the work.
Okay, great. My birthday wish for you is that I do all the work. No, I get to have a birthday wish for you too.
Oh, okay, great.
That's how this works.
Great.
I feel like you are not good at birthdays just based on this check-in question.
We've talked about it over sushi.
Uh-huh, we did. Yeah. So my birthday wish for you, I hope you have a super relaxing day and like a fun day. But also, I just hope that your 43rd year is like more of a balance of stuff that you really, really, really like and less stuff that you feel like you should do.
Right.
Yeah, less should stuff in 2023 and more wanna stuff in 2023.
Awesome.
Be that more feels selfish.
That feels indulgent just to hear it.
Oh, well, I wished it, and so be it, so it is.
Yes. From your lips to whatever's ears.
Exactly.
Okay.
That's it. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
I'm going to do a reading. I'm going to play you a birthday song. It's going to be wild.
Yeah.
Your present's going to be really late, but it's going to be special.
Yeah. I don't usually do a lot, folks. I don't celebrate a lot. I don't get a lot of calls. So Rodney is messing with me.
I'm trying to manifest it.
And it seems like it's going to work.
Okay. Thanks. We are Legion.
We're off to a good start.
Happy birthday.
We are Legion. All right. So today's topic, and I would have put a poop emoji on that, is emojis and different ways of communicating at work. And I guess I want to start with a bit of background. So I want you, if you don't mind, to tell everyone how we currently use emojis and reactions at the ready. And what role or roles do you think they play in our work OS?
Yeah. We use emojis so much. I mean, I don't really have a basis for comparison because it's been a long time since I worked somewhere else. But when I'm in clients' Slack instances or, you know, competitors, it doesn't seem like as much as we use them. And I really do feel like the Ready has its own language of emojis. So there's a spectrum of usage, and it ranges from things that are very practical, like eyeball emoji means I'm reading this or I've read this or I'm looking at it. Check mark usually means like I did this, to like the very emotionally supportive signaling of various colored hearts or, you know, prayer hands, or when someone posts something about their lives or something meaningful of some kind. And then we also have a bunch that are somewhere in between those two ends of the spectrum that are more like rituals, like when there's a sale, there's like a gong emoji. And, you know, smaller teams, like a couple of teams that I've been on, have made custom emojis. I made an emoji of a tater tot that was to indicate when you were going to facilitate something. So, you know, stuff like that. Like, emojis play so many roles from many perspectives in many channels in our system.
Yes, strong agree. And I love how many custom emojis we have. I think that's where the game gets varsity.
It's really
not
fun.
Basic.
They're so easy to make. Have you made any custom emojis? What were they?
I have over the years. Yeah. My favorite one right now is on the murmur side of the fence. Early on, I think Ariel made a blue heart with the logo in it. And
so
it became like this. It became like this way of doing like a heart type motion, like a thank you or a care. It's like a Care Bear. It's like a little murmur Care Bear. And when someone drops it, like if someone's sick, you're getting that emoji where it's like, oh, we love you, you know? And I think that's a move that everyone should have. Like, you need a heart with your color or your mark on it.
Okay.
So it can be like a team asset. I played a role in the creation of a custom emoji at the ready, which is the Colin.
I mean, truly
emoji.
My favorite of the custom.
Put it in the show notes.
Ever, our colleague Colin was caught in a photograph at a retreat in which every other person in the image is smiling, and Colin is doing like a side eye, angry face, which, if you know Colin, is not particularly in character with his general vibe. He is like such a nice, easygoing, smiley human being. And like, the camera just caught him at this moment. And now I just use it for when I'm judging someone. I just like slap a Colin on there when I'm like, shh, I don't like what you're saying right now. Yeah, this is making me angry. Angry, like angry Colin.
Yeah, it's so good. It's stunning. Yeah.
It's
What's the last custom one you made?
I can't remember. I don't know if I've made one since Tater Tot.
Okay.
Other ones that emerged in that same team were the Alicorn, which is like this little magical unicorn for when Ali does something smart. We have one of Jake Peralta from Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and the descriptor is smart for when someone does something smart. And there's one other one that like comes up a lot, and then Tater Tot. Anyway, but I haven't made one in a minute. I'm going to make one after the show.
I feel like custom emojis are one of those things at work. There's a lot of them like this where it's great to do more of, and you just forget that you can.
Right.
And you just kind of get back in the grind, and you just don't remember that you have this power to create joy.
I love it. So do you think that emojis are important? And Are they more important because now we don't work in an office together?
Yes. Yeah. So I think, I mean, first of all, I should say that most of the emoji work that happens in my life happens in Slack, which is, you know, obviously a sponsor of the show. And we've been thinking about ways to use Slack differently and better. And for me, because Slack is primarily text-based, it is devoid of tone.
Sure.
And it's devoid of emotional content where you like, somebody says, I like that. And you're like, was that sassy? Was that serious? Was that happy? What, like, there's just no way to read between the lines. And so I find that the heavy emoji usage is a way to like bring emotion and human vibes back into the conversation so that it doesn't feel like a chatbot. Because I find that in and of itself, just having a message feels tone deaf or tonally dangerous. And I use them certainly to respond to things, to signal like my emotional reaction to the thing, but I also use them in messages, like without even putting them on as a reaction, as a way to just punctuate what's going on with a little bit of tone or a little bit of vibe. And honestly, sometimes I think I'm overdoing it, but to me, it helps to add that extra layer of information. And in some ways I'm mad that there aren't more of them. Like I'm looking to add very precise information. And then when I look at the options and it's like, oh, there's nothing like that, then I can't do what I want to do. My number one problem, by the way,
what's missing?
So very routinely, you'll have a good metric, like a sale or a number is going up or some steering metric is moving in the right direction, or you want one to or whatever. And you're like, I want to post a picture of everything going up and to the right.
Mm-hmm.
And for some ungodly reason, the up and to the right chart emoji that Apple has decided is like the way we're going to do it is a red line.
Uh-huh.
So it feels bad. Yeah, it feels negative. It's like this is a red line with a dip in it. This doesn't vibe at all. And that's like one of those moments where I'm like, I want a more precise tool for the job than this. This does not do it for me.
When you were talking about the tone thing, I realized that I do that way more when I'm posting something to the attention of a very large group. Use like inline emojis when I'm like DMing you.
No. Yeah, okay.
But when I'm like posting at channel in general, I'm like, here's the tone I want you to hear this with.
Yeah, and it's the equivalent of jazz hands. You're exactly. Like, hey, everybody.
Yeah, I'm like, hey, everybody. I know you can't see my face right now, but it's smiling. I feel like the bigger group, the like sort of more likely the messages to be misinterpreted in my estimation, the more I tend to do inline emoji. Mm-hmm. And I also, particularly if I'm in like a crowded channel, I do like to use an emojis just as like a signal of like, this is a new like just a visual break to be like, look at this.
Yep.
Like when I'm posting like a source update, I'll put like purple circles on each side of source update just to be like, hey,
just everybody. So
you, like there's a wall of text here today. Hey, everybody, make sure that you see this one. So I do feel like they play a real variety of roles.
You're like a print designer when you're doing that. Yeah. It's like, how are we going to lay out the cover of the New York Times?
Exactly. I get so mad when I accidentally mess up the spacing and then on mobile it appears on like it breaks and my emojis are on two different lines. Oof.
So I have a piece of emoji data. We got some interesting data about emoji use from Slack. And I want to run a couple things by you to get your read on why they are the way they are.
Okay.
One of them was 53% of respondents usually include an emoji when they message their colleagues, which tracks. I'm like, yeah, that's exactly what we're talking about. But it says 30% never do with their boss. What's up with that?
Interesting. Well, I mean, my hottest of hot takes is like some corporate mask nonsense where it's like, I don't have feelings that need to be conveyed to my boss.
Because I'm a robot.
And also that like, I'm just going to project a whole bunch of shit onto this piece of data that's probably perfectly innocuous. But I think part of it is that is like, it feels too friendly or like too informal. Part of it is like, I'm already hand-wringing and fiddling to make the messaging itself like so sort of irrefutable or you know, impossible to interpret incorrectly, that I don't need emojis because I've already like really done
fine-tuned it
thing. And then also I feel like I don't know, this could be controversial, but a lot of times in boss subordinate relationships, there's also an age difference.
Yeah.
And I do think sometimes it can be a little bit like, is this person who's older than me going to like get this or interpret this emoji? And I just saw this Twitter thread where this guy who's probably like our age was asking his kid like about what emojis basically dated people generationally. And it was stuff that like you and I use all the time. And he was like, those are like elder millennial slash Gen X people, you know? And I've been texting a lot with someone recently who's like 15 years older than me. And I do sort of pause sometimes and think like, is he going to misinterpret this emoji for me? So I wonder if there's a little bit of a generational thing baked in there too. Those are my three takes.
It would be, I love that. And I think it would be super fun to create some kind of a visual chart of like emojis by generation,
totally.
Right? Like what are we using and where are we using them? I did learn from my team that, and I was very surprised to hear this, and you and I've talked about this, I think once before, that like certain very innocuous emojis are actually offensive to the younger generation in a way that I did not expect, where it's like, if I put a smiley face, like a regular fucking smiley face on a message to someone who's like young Gen Z, they might be like, whoa, shots fired. Like, you know, and all I'm saying is like, I'm happy with this work. So it's a minefield.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is. It's a fun minefield.
Yeah, it is fun. I use it anyway, by the way. Yeah, I definitely like, I'm like, it's coming.
You're just like, here's my smiley face. Deal with it. I'm ancient.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry for this microaggression of my smiley face emoji.
You're like, I'm not going to learn. I refuse to learn.
Yeah, I have bigger fish to fry on the DEI front. I'm going to let my emojis fly.
So we talked a little bit about custom emojis and reactions in a company. And like which ones we have at the ready. There's also an amazing one of Sam. And every once in a while, a conversation will circulate about what the Sam Sperlin face emoji means. And I maintain that it either means mustache or hockey, though I don't think that that is technically what it's supposed to be. Anyway, from the data, what we know is that over a third of French, Australian, and German respondents agree that their company has its own quote-unquote language of emoji for internal communications. This sentiment was higher in Asia than in Europe, which I just think is like interesting data. I'm curious, besides the custom emoji thing, either at Murmur or at the Ready, what else do you notice in terms of sort of the language of emojis and what it signals or symbolizes?
Well, I think what I've noticed, certainly at the Ready, at Murmur, and at other companies, including Slack, that play more in asynchronous tools and play more in remote work tools, is that they do start to build more of a like semantic meaning and even like an operational or a process meaning over time. Mm. So the language can be as simple as like, oh, the Colin thing means that you're like being critical, but you're kidding. That's a lot of communication in one little icon. Yeah. Or I have a bird that's like popping his head through the ceiling. And it's kind of like for like something that's exciting, but like on the border of a little zany or like a little too exciting. And so I think there's that kind of meaning, but then there's a layer deeper than that I've seen, which is like, this actually means something operationally or process wise. So I've heard, I think on our very first episode ever with Mike Brevoort, we talked about how Slack might use an emoji to signal that someone needs to do something or that something has been done or addressed. Right. We have a, there's an orange safety vest in the emoji set, and we use that to signify safe to try.
Cute.
So it would be like someone just clicks that and that's like a way of suggesting that something is okay with them. I think as they start to be attached with like processes or meaning that goes beyond just an emotional meaning, but actually an operational meaning, that's where things get really interesting. And I've even seen people use some of the workflow automation such that like when someone uses a certain emoji, it actually triggers a certain flow of activity with the tool. Mm. So it could be like, if I emoji something in Slack, I want it to create a card for it in our product area. And then that gets fed to the right person with a message.
That's
cool. And like, that's like full on automation. And in a way, I think that's like kind of a laziness factor. Like we can make things easier and more convenient for mm-hmm. ourselves and not have to write a book or yeah. like ask somebody to do something. You just click a button.
Yeah. It's just shortcuts.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do see a fair number of like, you know, things that get proposed and it's like thumbs up for safe to try, thumbs down for not, and things
exactly.
like that.
Yeah, that's simple stuff.
I also thought about two other things that are probably more about my psyche than anything else. But I feel like a thing that's true at the ready is like you can see the prevailing social support by the quantity of emojis on something.
Right. Yeah, this is the like, popularity contrast part.
Yeah, and not like how many people emoji your happy birthday message. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about like when someone is like, hey, I'm thinking of doing this thing. Would you all be into it? And like there is like, you know, the one person who always leaves an emoji yep. and no one else. It's like everybody hates this.
Right. That's a signal. It's like a
They're
quiet
too
signal.
Nice to say, no, thank you. But yeah. if it's crickets, we should have a yes. cricket emoji for like, I read this. I'm not ignoring it. I just don't like it. And I'm too nice to say so. I definitely yes. notice that that's a thing. And I'll see it through like something will seem from an emoji perspective to be unpopular. And then when it gets brought up again, it is in fact unpopular.
Right, like, right.
Oh, that's what happened.
I totally agree with the phenomenon you just described. And in fact, it's one of the signals that I felt like we actually got self-management going correctly at the ready, in a sense that like there was a sense of autonomy and freedom about what we like and don't like, because I have had many moments where I would post something that I thought was important, interesting, or significant and had total emoji crickets. And yeah. I'm just like, oh, they don't
oh,
like
they don't
that.
Think so.
They're not in for that, you know? And like, there's no informal power here that's like going to make people emoji. Like, it's just, they don't like it.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're sending that one
the
back to the kitchen.
As anyone, as me or yeah. anyone else.
And yeah. I was like, okay, cool. So like that really, you know, like I'm crying inside, but I'm also like really happy because that means we did it.
Yeah.
We like totally. Have a little bit of intellectual freedom here.
Yeah. And I think it's a thing where like, you know, I pay attention to not emojiing something that I disagree with just because I'm supportive of the person. Because mm-hmm. it's like, this is not about this person. This is about what they posted. And I think critically about that because people do look to see who has emojied what. And there is an assumption that like, if I plus one something or I like raised hand something that somebody posts that like, I am in support of it. Even if in my own mind, I'm like, oh, I just want them to feel supported.
Yes.
I just don't. So I think it's an interesting thing. The other thing that this is making me realize that I've truly never thought about before is I have such like a weird passive aggressive emoji habit, which is, this is not for people that I don't collaborate closely with. So larger team, please do not read into this because this is not a thing in public channels. But a thing that I know that I do in like DMs and private channels is when I'm annoyed, I will just like use a thumbs up.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, there are people with whom like a thumbs up is not a typical emoji, but it's sort yep. of like your smiley face thing. I'm just
yep.
like,
yep.
okay, like I have to do something. And to me, a thumbs up is literally the least I can do
yeah.
beyond nothing.
It's like, okay, cool guy.
It's like, like, yeah, that's really cool. Thanks for that. Yeah. Yeah. Or to me, it's like, it's not even necessarily about the content. It's like, I don't want to be here.
Right.
But I have to be. And so yep. I'm going to do the least. And the least is a thumbs up emoji.
Yeah. If I Chuck Norris this, can I leave?
Exactly. You know, my dad knew him like pretty well.
No, that's
we'll
great.
We'll talk about that someday.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. That was entertaining. I didn't realize I was so passive aggressive in emojis until right now.
Yeah.
Don't Can go I back ask through your you, DMs and look at what I thumbs up. It's just going to
Oh, I'm aware. I was already aware emotionally and intuitively of what was going on there.
You were?
So, yes.
Good. Okay, great.
Definitely. Definitely.
I wasn't until just now. I just discovered this for myself.
Okay. Well, the rest of us have known for a while.
You could have told me. You could have been like, I see your thumbs up. What is your problem right now?
All right. I want to get your opinion on something else emoji related. And it's sort of at the intersection of emojis and Jedi work.
Okay.
So not that long ago, like certainly within the last 5 years, they started to introduce skin tones.
Yes.
Into the emoji game. Yes. And you can default set your skin tone and do that, or you can leave it yellow or whatever. What do you think about that and how do you experience that?
Yes, I love it. And I also find it annoying that I can't make the facepalm lady blonde because I don't have black hair and I want a blonde one. But that's besides the point. I think it is only to say I have gotten so used to seeing the differentiation that now it feels weird to me when it doesn't exist. And I really like the fact that people can choose an icon that feels more representative of them than us all just being like, we all have, you know, yellow thumbs, which
like we're all the Simpsons.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody here is a Simpson. I don't know. What do you think about it?
Well, first of all, I think it's great. I think it's actually a secret data source, because if you think about, like, if you have good representation and a diverse team, and then you see a bunch of thumbs up emojis, you hopefully see a lot of variety. Uh-huh. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, you might not have a super diverse team.
Could be.
So like, there's some signal there that you could probably pull out if you looked at like all the Slack data around the world. I bet they could tell you some really interesting things about that. But no, I think it's really nice. And I actually am supportive of, like you said, more representation and customization throughout that experience. And I think it's funny that the tech companies have not made it so that you can do that settings work at a meta level, where it's like, I don't want to choose the color of every freaking finger. I want to be like, I am a dark haired white dude. And it's like, cool, we got your back. Like everything is defaulted to that. And then if if it turns out later that I want to pretend to be a dinosaur, like I can tell it and it'll adjust accordingly. It seems like we're in a world where that could and should be possible now.
Totally. To me, it's like an interesting question, because I think it just shows like the, not just the sophistication of the tool, but the sophistication in our use of the tool. Because like when we start, you know, I started using Slack when I was at MG. So that was maybe 2014. And I don't think that there was a choice of skin tone then that I remember.
Right.
And it wouldn't have even occurred to me, because it was so early in emoji land that like everyone looking like the Simpsons was like, sure. You know, we had like five emojis and we were like, these ones, they're yellow. And so to me, it's like, it's a reflection of the fact that emojis are their own language now, that we need to have that kind of nuance in terms of the language that we speak.
We were also early in, I think, the modern Jedi movement as well. I mean, like, literally at that same time, you couldn't get anything but a pink Band-Aid at the CVS. Like, we definitely were not aware. And I think in the lifespan of Slack, we've gone from unaware to, like, actually having some optionality and some identity in the emoji space. And I think hopefully more to come. I'm super interested to see how emojis as a body of characters are governed going forward, because it seems like they've been managed by, like, I don't know, some product designers in the corner somewhere at Android and iOS. But in theory, like, it could be quite a important thing to govern.
Yeah.
Like what symbols there are and are not, how they are handled. It is wild to me that, like, if you say bookmark, the only one in there is like an Asian bookmark. That's a choice somebody made. And then it's like, how many other choices are in there that we might rethink or do differently or expand upon? So yeah, I think it'd be cool to build some kind of more sophisticated emoji council that is run sociocratically and does like a really good job. Right?
Uh-huh.
And then they'd have their own emoji that only they have to show their status as emoji council members.
To put the council approval on certain messages.
The stamp.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm just thinking out loud. If you're listening, emoji council, shadow emoji council, I would take an invite. So would Rodney. Your choice.
They're like the Masons. Speaking of things that I want to become normalized in emoji land, Alistair, just earmuffs for a second. I am a big fan of self-emojiing. And Alistair makes fun of me because I mostly do it in DMs to him when I think I'm being really funny. And then I will laugh at my own
joke. Put your own laugh on yourself.
In a DM to him. And there is something that feels like meta in a good way. And it's not the same as just putting the emoji in line and being like, I'm making a joke here. It's like, I made a joke and now I'm laughing at my own joke that is at your expense. And we're all aware of what's going on here. I find it so, so delicious. I truly cannot stop myself.
I have second
guess. I'll plus one something that I argue with him about. I'll just plus one myself. And he's like, I see what you're doing.
I see what you're doing. I have debated with myself whether I could or should do that many times. Where
you
I was just like, what? Right. But now that I'm hearing you talk about it, what I'm recognizing that I have not seen before is that in a real human conversation, if I was making fun of you, for example, I could be laughing while I'm making fun of you.
Yes.
And that's a layered conversation. Like I'm saying, you look ridiculous and I'm laughing at you.
Yes.
And in Slack, there's no way to do that in the same message. And so I do like the idea of being like, here's what I'm saying. And here's how I'm feeling about what I'm saying, which is I'm laughing at you.
Yes.
I think that's fair.
Exactly. And also
totally
it's
fair.
Like, if you're making fun of me and it's really funny, then you might also afterward be like, I'm hilarious. Which also you get at with the self emoji.
Yeah.
You're just like, aren't I having a great time right now?
Totally.
I just want everyone to know. Yeah. So in addition to the council, I want self emojiing to become more of a thing because I just find it really, really entertaining.
I think the reason that that is so interesting to me is that it goes back to the layers of meaning thing and also to the efficiency thing. Which I think some people listening, maybe if they're coming at this from like a productivity lens or an efficiency lens, could be like, what is this episode even about? What are you talking about? Why does this matter? And I think the reality is like, this is about, to me, this is about three things really that are going on at the same time. One is emotional signal, which is not present in text at the level we need. So it's about like communicating what's going on inside us. One part of it is about efficiency, because when I choose to use an emoji, I am making less work. Like I'm going faster than writing, oh, this is really good, I really like it. Instead, you get a murmur heart. So like there's a savings that goes on there, an energetic savings. And then the third piece that we just glanced off of, but is also really important, is like actual process and functionality, which is to say, if the emoji triggers a process or means something in a process that makes the work go, then it's not only efficient or communicative, it's literally making the work go. Like you, when you want the ticket to be done in your intercom customer service channel and you click the checkbox and now it closes the ticket, like that's real work that you're doing real work when you use it. So I feel like those are the three lanes and they all serve a purpose.
Yeah. And that made me think of two things that are related to your lanes. One is, I think emojis give us freedom to be more emotional than we would be just in text. Cause it's like, I probably wouldn't, well, I mean, I would because I do, but I wouldn't all the time use the word love in text, in Slack, in public channels. I mean, I do a lot, but not all the time. But I use a heart emoji all the time. And I think there's something really human about the freedom of like a pre-created button that represents how we're feeling about something. And it really lowers the stakes to like make the mad face emoji instead of being like, I'm very angry with you right now. In a way that I think is really positive. I also, just as you were talking, was thinking about like how important this is globally. Cause it's like, every organization uses emojis differently and develops their own emoji language over time. And so it's not necessarily so particularly anchored to a specific culture. It's like anchored to the culture of that team or system in a way that I think really spans like regional nuance and lingual nuance and emotional nuance in a great way, where it's like the people here use emojis like this, regardless of where in the world they sit or what their primary language spoken is. And I just think, you know, in both of those instances, to your point, they might seem like they're about communication, but ultimately they're about the efficiency of communication, which is conveying what's under the surface and having a shared global language so that more people can participate seamlessly.
And, you know, to your point about love versus a heart, I do think there's something to the fact that symbolic language predates written language the way we know it today. And there's something different about knowing the feeling of a drawing or the feeling of an iconographic symbol versus the feeling of a word. Mm-hmm. They hit different in my body and in my mind when I see them. And like one of them, like the heart emoji, just kind of goes all the way to the core. There's no like interruption. There's no processing. And the other one, I have to like do a little bit of extra processing to be like, oh, this is a set of shapes that equals a word that equals a meaning. Uh-huh. And the symbol is just like, oh, that's the meaning. Like I don't have to do as much legwork to get it. So there's something different and more freeing about doing that. And I think that it changes the way it feels when you think about like frequency or psych safety or vulnerability or whatever. Like putting a heart on something is a lot easier to do and to receive than love in some weird way. Although I was looking at another stat that we had from Slack. You were talking about the globalization of this. And I agree that it is infinitely customizable. But the stat that they shared was that Indian, Chinese, and American workers are most likely to find emoji-less texts or things that are missing emojis lacking in some way compared with other global respondents. So like Indian, 85% feel that it's lacking if it doesn't have that. Chinese, 74%. American, 71%. And then 58% globally. So there is something emoji-rific about certain cultures compared to others.
That's
and
so
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure some sociologist or anthropologist or something could help us walk that around.
Yeah, fascinating.
To wrap up, why don't we do this? Let's each share one emoji tip or trick to try, like something to do in the week ahead to have a little bit more fun with emojis in our lives. I'll say the one action I recommend is go and find some instance of a process or a motion that happens in your system a lot where you need agreement or action or a reaction from a person or a system and try to automate it. Try to figure out a way to actually have an emoji mean that something is happening somewhere else using Zapier or Slack workflows or whatever the case may be. But let's make the attempt to make an emoji actually trigger something is my one reco for the road.
Okay, mine is try using an emoji that you don't use all the time in response to something that actually makes you laugh. Because it will show your teammates some part of your personality that they might not see when you're just thumbs-upping things.
The octopus is under-leveraged. You could start there.
There you go.
That seems like a good place to draw things to a close. If this was a Slack thread, Rodney would be putting a thumbs up on it at this point. It's time to go. So let's cut loose.
If you like what you're hearing, a review would mean a lot. Consider it a late birthday present for Aaron to leave him 5 stars. He would love it. Or forward our show to someone who needs to learn more about emojis. Forward it to your boss and be like, I'd really like to speak in emoji language with you. What do you think?
Yes. Let's up our emoji game together. A quick tip of the hat to Taylor Marvin for making us sound good. Brave New Work is produced by The Ready, where we help organizations around the world change the way they work, and we emoji all sorts of stuff with them along the way. You can get in touch with us by emailing podcast@theready.com. And as for you, thanks for listening. Now go change something.